Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 50th Carlo Vivari International Film Festival, and I'm joined by filmmaker Paz Fabrega, who is the director of the film Viaje here at the festival. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, so to start off, would you like to tell our listeners what the story of the film is?
It's about two people that meet at a party and end up spending the next couple of days together at a volcano. That's it, basically.
Well, actually, the first thing that I wanted to ask you was, how difficult is it nowadays to get a film going in Costa Rica? Because I don't really usually see many films from Costa Rica right now. So before we get to talking about the story and everything else, was it difficult for you to get it started?
Well, when I made this film, it was 3 years ago that I shot it. So it was just as these new DSLR cameras were coming out, like the 5D and such. And I shot it with that camera in a way that was very, very simple, basically a group of friends. I feel that in the past few years, that's happening more everywhere around the world, that people just get their films going this way. So if you're making a film that way, I think it's pretty much the same anywhere,
sure,
no?
Yeah. And actually, yeah, that is the great thing about today's generation. Mm-hmm. You have the equipment to make the film, but very few people can actually do it and get it made and get a great film like yours going and here in Carlo Vivari. So is that where the choice to film it in black and white came from?
No, that was actually because when we went to this place, we felt that, well, we did some tests and we shot in color and we shot in black and white, and we felt that the color was too much. You know, there's like a very lush sort of rainforest. It's not rainforest, it's a drier sort of forest, but still, it's very lush, very green, and it sort of looked like a nature documentary, and that's not what we wanted. We wanted to find like a different way to show that landscape.
And to kind of really pay tribute to its texture and everything. Because it's quite an unusual, let's say, backdrop to, I would say, kind of a romance, romantic story. And where did the inspiration come from to use that setting?
Mm-hmm. I'd gone there before, many years before, actually. And I was quite impressed with the wind in this place, and I just wanted to, when I got the idea to shoot this, I just wanted to shoot there because of the wind. It doesn't actually come across in the film at all,
right?
But that was the original reason. Yeah.
And actually, it just provides something more to the structure of the romantic film kind of genre, because it starts off, it's very modern, and then as it progresses, it becomes more and more timeless. Nevertheless, in the conversation between the two characters, we see that they do have a very modern approach to the concept of love and relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess you wanted to examine those kind of themes in your film as well.
I wanted them to be like in a neutral place where they didn't have their context there. We don't really know that much about the characters, and I sort of wanted it to be that way. I wanted it to be two people in the middle of nowhere, just reacting to each other, to what they're doing right then, not to their past history, not to any ideas about the future, just to the present.
Yeah, because they actually dominate the action on the screen. It's pretty much them the whole time. And going back to this representation of today's idea of romanticism, what are your thoughts on the case?
I think I made this film because I as a way of exploring what is going on with us, with my generation, in the sense that I'm not really sure what we want, but I think that not being sure is very valuable. I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think it's we're sort of exploring things that maybe our parents weren't able to explore.
Yeah.
And what I think I found in making this film, and in those 3 years editing it, like all the thought that I, you know, we had a lot of material, and putting it together sort of challenged me to really find what it was that I wanted to say. And I think it's that, I mean, people are just people, no? And right now we don't need as much as before to sort of have a marriage or a relationship or a family in the same sense that we used to. And we're more able to just appreciate people as what they are, not necessarily by like what they bring into our lives in the sense of like more practical arrangements or anything like that.
That's a very excellent observation, actually. And But you said it took 3 years to make this film. Mm-hmm. So now I'm very curious. How did you first structure it? Was there a script, or did you allow some sort of improvisation to come through in the film?
There was a lot of improvisation. We did have a basic outline that these two people meet at a party, that they go away together, and that she has a secret. But we pretty much improvised the scenes themselves. Oh. And a lot of them, we came up with them during rehearsal. So we did like some rehearsals before starting shooting. And we came up with some ideas for the scenes then. But then also while we were shooting, we came up with other ideas.
So basically, it was like almost impulsive. It was like a journey. Mm-hmm. The film itself was a journey almost. Mm-hmm. And was that a way to kind of get a little more realistic and treasure the actual chemistry that the actors had?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Because my previous film... I made one film before. It's called Agua Fría de Mar, and it was a 5-country co-production, and I shot it on 35, and it felt very, very heavy. And with this film, I sort of wanted to make something where I could change my mind halfway through and where I could find the things I really wanted to shoot, and I wasn't so much committed to the things I said I was going to do, but to whatever I found that I thought was worth filming.
And you felt freer, so you were kind of exploring the boundaries of filmmaking and going away from the conventional style of filmmaking itself.
Yeah, yeah. I think this was like such a great way to make a film. Mm-hmm. Like for us, I think it was really interesting. We really enjoyed it. The editing part was very difficult because we didn't have any budget, basically. And I was just sort of left alone with all this material.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I didn't know what to do with it.
So how did you actually end up picking? That must have been a very daunting process.
It was very hard. I started out, I sort of did a rough cut, and then I sort of put it away, and I wasn't sure what to do with it for a long time. Then I sort of went through a lot of personal things. Well, my best friend passed away, and that was very, very difficult for me. And I think because I had that time where I wasn't able to even, open the, final cut at all. I just didn't want to have anything to do with it for almost a year. I think that was the time I needed to let it breathe so I could really find out what the film was about.
You have to distance yourself from
it. Yeah, exactly.
And that's totally understandable. The kind of filmmaking process actually reminds me of Wim Wenders and what he did when like he really like came out and showed his style, when he used mm-hmm. to make films on the go. That's mm-hmm. really exciting. I think, yeah. Have we gone back to a time in filmmaking when this type of filmmaking can be done? In other words, the 80s kind of killed a wave mm-hmm. of excitement that was taking over world cinema. Mm-hmm. Have we gone back to those times?
I think so, because I think now it's possible, and I see a lot of filmmakers that are interested in making films this way.
That's great, because I would like to get into that as well. Cool. And okay, so let's talk about you away from this film, and maybe what kind, because you've gone to from like filming something that was bigger to something that is far more experimental and freer, like you said. What interests you as a filmmaker in terms of themes, but also approaches? And are you open to talking about anything that comes to your mind, basically?
Yeah, I'm sort of finding that I'm always wanting to make a film about what is happening to me at that exact moment. But right now I'm also sort of starting to work with other people on projects that aren't so personal.
Right.
And that's really interesting as well, because it's in a way it's like when there's a structure that's not your own, you sort of feel like you can put in more, like you don't have to hold back with the personal part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas when the story is very personal, you sort of feel like you have to take distance to be able to make it. So now I'm sort of doing the opposite. I'm working on a project that's sort of based on a documentary that wasn't ever made.
Really?
Uh-huh. So it's a friend of mine who's a documentary filmmaker, and she started investigating this case of a minor league football yeah. team, soccer team in Costa
right.
Rica that went to play in the States, and they played 3 games, which they lost miserably, like 16-0, 9-0.
Yeah.
And they didn't score a single goal, and after those 3 games, they disappeared. And it turns out that it was a bunch of kids that sort of intercepted an invitation to an actual football team.
Okay.
But they weren't football players at all.
Really intriguing.
And so they went and they played these games against like semi-professional players.
Yeah.
And then it was just a way to get into the States and stay there.
And you're already working on it? Is it? Are you filming?
We're just starting now with like the pre-production, with like funding and development and writing the script and such.
And all the stuff that you have to do to get a film made.
Exactly.
That's probably the most daunting part of filmmaking,
mm-hmm.
right?
And the most boring part as well.
Yeah. But now your film Viaje is in Carlo Vivari, and it's a great film. I watched it yesterday, and I wish you all the best with it, and thank you very much for talking with us about it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.